Susan, thank you. The Garda Representative Association has said it is concerned that recruitment targets to strengthen the force are not being met. The association, which represents rank-and-file Gardaí, said so far this year the numbers entering the Garda Training College in Templemore are down 137 on projected targets. They say it is disappointing and demoralising that assurances provided to them around the strengthening of the force have not been met. Well, earlier I spoke with the Justice Minister, Simon Harris, and began by asking him whether he can still keep the government's commitment to recruit an extra 1,000 Gardaí by the end of this year.
I think we still can. We've provided funding to An Garda Síochána to, as you rightly say, recruit 1,000 additional Gardaí. We've had two classes go in so far. We have three further classes to go in. Already this year, more new recruits have entered Templemore than did in the entirety of last year. And actually, if you look at the number of people who've entered since November to now, plus 50 people who've said they intend to go in later this year, there's now more than 400 Garda recruits either in Templemore or committed to going in this year. So there's no denying the fact that there's lots of moving parts around vetting, medical fitnesses, fitness tests. But we have had more than 4,800 people indicate that they wish to become a member of An Garda Síochána. The interest is still high, and this will be the first year since COVID that Garda numbers will be higher, I believe, at the end of the year than they were at the start.
The Garda Representative Association told us that so far this year that you haven't actually been able to recruit the numbers that you wanted to get into the classes in Templemore. The target was 200 in January. You got 134. That's a missed target. The target this week or last week was 225. You got 154, another missed target.
So it's certainly, and they're correct in relation to this, it certainly hasn't happened in a nice kind of linear fashion that you divide 1,000 by the number of classes and have an even intake. That's absolutely true. But it is also absolutely true that there's now more than 400 people in training or committed to coming to training. It's also true that each class is growing in size. It's also true that there's funding in place for 1,000 Gardaí this year. And it's also true that almost 5,000 people in a recruitment campaign that just closed last month indicated they wish to become a member of An Garda Síochána.
But yeah, one of your key promises as Minister for Justice was to recruit 1,000 extra Gardaí this year. Is that still a promise that you can stand over, or are you making a promise that you can't fulfil?
It's a commitment that was given on Budget Day by the government as a whole, and it's absolutely a commitment that we're working around the clock to. And what I'm saying to you is it remains the commitment to try and recruit 1,000 Gardaí, but it will also be the first year since COVID where we're going to see Gardaí numbers grow again. And that is a good thing,
okay,
and is badly needed
across Ireland. Are you going then to have to leave it to Helen McEntee to make up the shortfall then this year?
So this is not about Helen McEntee, Simon Harris or anybody else. This is about the Garda Commissioner, who has been given the money to recruit 1,000 extra Gardaí and now working to make sure we get to that place. And the Department of Justice and the government as a whole is working hard to fulfil that reality.
The Garda Representative Association President Brendan O'Connor told us that his organisation has met you on two occasions in the past 3 months about the strength of the force on recruitment. He says assurances that they were given have not materialised, which has left the current membership demoralised and disappointed.
I'd love to know what those assurances were, because when Brendan O'Connor, a man who I've met several times, I would have met him again at a ceremony this week too, when he came to see me, their big request at the time was around this issue of safety for members of An Garda Síochána, and very swift legislative action was taken by me, where we're now going to change the law to ensure that anyone who attacks a member of An Garda Síochána or their vehicles will see a maximum sentence increase from 7 years to 12 years. I've attended the GRA conference and I've engaged very intensively. So look, we need to work with all the rep bodies here. We need to listen to them. As Minister for Justice, I've been very keen to listen to them. But we also need to be truthful here. There are lots of people in this country who still want to become guards. Nearly 5,000 people said, I'd like to be a member of An Garda Síochána, not because it's an easy job, because it isn't, but because it is a job worth doing and it is a job with impact. And we are going to see Garda numbers now grow as a result of being back in
Will you make your 1,000 by the end of the year?
That's absolutely the aim.
And I know it's the aim.
And everybody is working.
But based on the numbers, it doesn't seem that you're going to.
Well, I actually don't accept that, because there's already more than 400 Gardaí in training or committed to coming into training as a result of the intake from last November right up to today.
All right. Are you going to introduce legislation to bring in body cameras with facial recognition technology for Gardaí before you step down as Minister for Justice?
Well, as you know, I'm due to stop being Minister for Justice later this week. So it's the legislation certainly won't be introduced this week. But I've already begun the commencement of that legislation through the Dáil. It passed second stage, the body cam legislation. I intend to meet further with government leaders again this week to try and find a landing zone in relation to the whole issue of FRT. Discussions are going on in government, so I don't want to say too much, but just for the benefit of listeners, what we're talking about here is how you could use facial recognition technology in retrospective situations for things like online child abuse, for things like murders, to try and help find heinous criminals and find them quicker.
But you do have agreement with your colleagues in the Green Party in Fianna Fáil, both of whom, certainly members of those parties, have expressed serious reservations around the use of facial recognition technology. Patrick Costello from the Green Party says that it gave rise to concerns over a horrendous dystopia of mass surveillance that we should be resisting with every fibre. James Lawless, Fianna Fáil, warned that passive use of this technology risked a huge encroachment on your privacy and data protection rights. Do you have agreement with your party to progress this legislation?
Well, the leader of Fianna Fáil, Micheál Martin de Tánaiste, has been extraordinarily supportive. James Lawless has also, I think, since those comments, made it clear that he sees the benefit in certain uses of FRT. And Patrick Costello is not entirely wrong either. Of course, if you didn't have safeguards in place, and if you were talking about the live use of FRT, that brings you to a very different space.
And that's what the Gardaí want, though, isn't it? They want the live use of it.
No, I mean, look, what we need to do is two things. We need to get body cams on every guard. We need to see the rollout of the pilot this year and the rollout to all Gardaí next year. And secondly, though, we need to make sure when you go up to Garda headquarters, where I've been, and today there are men and women of An Garda Síochána Síochána having to sit through hundreds, if not thousands, of images of the most vile child abuse possible online to try and find a perpetrator, that they are allowed to use technology to speed that up and to bring those criminals to apprehension quicker. That's what we're actually trying to do here. So
That has nothing to do with body cams and the use of facial recognition technology on body cameras, does it?
Correct. We're talking here is about just so as not to in any way, shape or form misrepresent my proposal, we're talking about body cams so that when Gardaí go to protest, they're not the only people without a camera. And we're talking about a very limited use of retrospective facial recognition technology.
But are you saying then that facial recognition technology will not be used in conjunction with body cams, that there won't be live facial recognition technology on body cams?
I am not in any way, shape or form proposing the live use of FRT, but I am conscious that there are discussions going on very actively within government. I'd like to see them conclude urgently, because I do believe we need to get on with procuring body cams, but we also need to get on with giving the Gardaí technology that the criminals have so that they can actually apprehend some very serious criminality around things that, you know, carry life sentences, things like murder, things like online child abuse. But those discussions are ongoing.
You say you're meeting your colleagues this week. Are you confident or hopeful you will get agreement with them to progress that this week?
I really hope that's the case.
Okay. I want to ask you about prison overcrowding. The Irish Penal Reform Trust produced a report this week highlighting the problem. There is consistent overcrowding in the two women's prisons. We now regularly have prisoners right across the system sleeping on mattresses. The former Mountjoy Governor, John Lonergan, was on this programme a few weeks ago, and he suggests capping the numbers in prisons, not putting non-violent criminals in jail if there isn't space, making them do community service instead. What do you say to that?
So look, I think there's two parts to the issue of prison capacity, and I think John Lonergan, who has a lot of experience, obviously does have important insights. I think one is the fact that we need to do an awful lot more around reducing recidivism. We have to make sure that we're helping people who get out of prison not end up back in prison. And this week, I will chair the first meeting of a prison education task force with my two hats on, if you like, as Minister for Further and Higher Education and Minister for Justice. We'll chair that in Mountjoy, because there are too many people in prison for very short sentences who find themselves perhaps in a bit of a revolving door. We've got to look at how we can give people skills, give people training, and make sure they, and indeed their children, don't end up in the prison system. Where I disagree with those who say there isn't a need for more prison capacity, it is fundamentally on two issues. We live in a country with a growing population. You need to actually increase prison capacity, even if you don't wish to increase incarceration. And secondly, I believe very strongly that there are some heinous crimes in which people are not receiving long enough sentences. And I'm not talking about individual cases or the independence of the judiciary. But I'd like to see, and I've been working on a policy, for example, around minimum tariffs, about meaning that actually, if you do carry out a heinous crime like a murder, like child sex abuse, that actually a judge can set a minimum tariff before you can be eligible for parole. The Oireachtas, as we speak now, is changing the law around assault causing harm, the most common offence that a survivor of domestic violence would encounter, to double the maximum sentence from 5 years to 10 years. So we've got to do two things. Penal reform, yes, but we've also got to recognise that there are some really heinous crimes that do merit longer custodial sentence than is currently the case in Ireland.
Are there too many people being sent to jail for smaller crimes, for minor crimes from the district court, for example?
I think there are. And that's the point. That's the kind of point I'm trying to make here. I mean, there's absolutely a need to continue to invest in youth diversion projects. There's absolutely a need to continue to support the probation service. There's absolutely a need to look at community sanctions and community service. And much of this is underway. Mm. But even if you do all of that, I'm absolutely confident that you do need to increase prison capacity.
But do district court judges then, if you believe that people are being sent to jail too often for minor crimes, do district court judges need to rethink how they sentence people?
I actually think we need to support district court judges as well. And I've spoken to district court judges during my tenure too, in terms of the suite of options that are available to them. And my colleague James Brown, the Minister of State, is doing a lot of work through the Youth Justice Strategy and through youth diversion projects. So yes, penal reform is a very active part of the work of the Department of Justice. But I do get extremely frustrated when people try to reduce the conversation to prison capacity around, do you want penal reform or do you want more capacity? In my view, you absolutely need both. And I do want to see the policy on minimum tariffs brought to government this year so we can make progress in that area too.
You will depart the Department of Justice this week. Your sole focus then for the next few months at least, no doubt, will be as Higher Education Minister. Third level fees were reduced by €1,000 for this academic year as a cost of living measure in the last budget. That was, we were told, a one-off measure. Will you be looking to repeat the trick again?
So fees were reduced by €1,000 for all students attending full-time undergraduate courses. That's true, and that was a one-off measure. But actually, fees were permanently reduced by €500 for anyone with a household income of less than 100,000. I'm obviously sensitive to budgetary processes, and I'm not going to predict what will be in the budget, other than to say this: I'm absolutely determined to work with government colleagues to reduce the cost of education. I think that involves three parts. It involves the fees, it involves improving the grants, and it also involves student accommodation.
Okay, but will you be looking then for the resources from the Minister for Finance and Public Expenditure to cut fees again next year?
I'd be looking for resources to reduce the cost of education. The cost of fees is very much on my mind, but I'm not going to get into particular measures today other than to say I was the first minister in 30 years to reduce college fees, and I'm determined that we make more progress in that area.
And this year's cohort, they will be paying more in fees than last year, will they? I mean, if it was a one-off measure last year, are you saying that people should prepare to pay more this year?
Well, as of now, the fee for any household income with any household with an income of 100,000 or less is €2,500 because of the changes we made. It was 3,000 previously. And what I'm saying to families right across the country is there will be a cost of education package, and I hope to be able to make more progress on both fees and grants.
What about on-campus accommodation? The cost of that is also increasing. Now, there's little you can do about the cost of private accommodation for students, but on-campus accommodation, is there more that you can do? Can you ask, can you compel the colleges to reduce or at least not increase the cost of on-campus accommodation?
I can certainly work with them on that. And one of the big things we did in the last budget was make sure that the rent tax credit did apply to on-campus accommodation. It wasn't clear on budget day whether it would, and myself and Pascal Donoghue worked to make sure that it would. So the rent tax credit did benefit on-campus accommodation. Being very honest though, Justin, the big issue here is that there's not enough on-campus accommodation, that so few students actually find themselves in a position to avail of that.
Okay, but for that which is there, will you be asking the colleges not to increase the cost of on-campus accommodation? Because some of them are already doing that.
So they're already covered by rent pressure zones, and I will be working in the round on the cost of education. How we decide to do that best, whether it's through reduced fees, whether it's through improved grants, whether it's through some form of subvention on accommodation, are a matter for the budget.
Before I let you go, Minister, the Taoiseach came out yesterday in the Irish Times endorsing the call made by three junior ministers from Fine Gael for tax cuts for the better off, for Middle Ireland, as he called them. And he said that Fine Gael is there to make sure that Middle Ireland gets looked after. Now, those comments, they came a day after we had figures out telling us that we had 12,000 people homeless, including 3,500 children. Shameful figures by any stretch of the imagination. And your party is out talking about tax cuts for the better off. What does that say about Fine Gael priorities?
Well, it firstly says a couple of things. One, governments can do more than one thing at a time. And when it comes to tackling the massive housing challenges that this country faces, money is not a constraint. And you can see that in the capital figures that are available to the Department of Housing. But also, you describe as the better off. When you talk about the better off, it's a nurse married to a guard. It's a teacher married to a civil servant. It's people listening to this programme at home in the kitchen.
You're
or
not
in their
talking
car
about
today.
Helping the poor there, though.
Well no, I think that would be a completely unfair representation. In every single budget that Fine Gael has been a part of, we have had a social welfare package. And in last year's cost of living package, €4 billion before Christmas, we targeted it at the most in need in terms of the fuel allowance, in terms of lump sum payments on social welfare. However, we absolutely will not apologise as a political party for saying that we want to also help the squeezed middle.
Do you agree with the Taoiseach that the highest housing priority should be providing houses that people can buy, as distinct from social homes for homeless people?
So the Taoiseach said the priority was around the issue of home ownership. And I think he's right.
Well, he said, to quote him, he said the thing that would be the highest priority to me is home ownership, is making sure that people are able to buy their own home. The thing we need to do most of, if that makes sense, he said, is homes for people to buy.
And he's right, because the positive benefit that has on the overall housing market in terms of freeing up rental accommodation is clear for all to see. Remember the context in which those remarks were made. Last year, we saw the highest level of social housing provided in our country since the 1970s, right? But the big area that we need to continue to try and stimulate demand is the actual building of private homes. That's why, for example, we're abolishing the payment of development levies. It's why we're abolishing charges for the likes of connecting to Irish Water, to try and help stimulate people, whether that's people in rural Ireland building a home for their son or their daughter, or whether it's people building a housing estate in parts of my
Minister, if you were living in a homeless shelter and you heard the highest housing priority is more homes for people to buy, would you think that Fine Gael is a party that cares about getting children, getting your family out of a homeless shelter?
Absolutely, because remember, increasing housing supply is key to solving all of these challenges. And the Taoiseach is making it very clear that the area that needs to see more progress is the area of the building of private homes, because that will free up other rental properties.
Just finally, Minister, do you agree with Michael Creed, former minister, that Fianna Fáil is still on probation when it comes to financial probity, fiscal probity, and that because of the fact that the party was at the helm when the crash came?
No, look, and I think the coalition government is working very well together. There's three distinct parties, but the coalition is working coherently and cohesively. Big challenges ahead, and we're going to keep on working, and we'll deliver a good budget in October that will help people right across this country.
That was the Minister for Justice and Higher Education, Simon Harris, speaking to me earlier. Coming up, Fianna Fáil TD Barry Cowan on that row over tax cuts for middle income earners.